Good afternoon. This is Vernon Nickerson from the Art of Montague calling to speak with Ido Mizrahi.
That's right. Speaking. How are you?
I'm well this afternoon. And have I pronounced that correctly, Ido?
You did, actually. And you even said Ido instead of Ido, which is extra correct.
Okay. I had a little bit of Spanish, but it's a long time ago. First question, what attracted you to this particular project?
So, Antonio Barrera, right, is the subject of the documentary,
yes.
Was the subject of my partner's story a few years ago. So my partner, my writing, producing partner, Jeff Gray, whom I've done another film with before this one, did a story about Antonio in Sports Illustrated about 3 years ago, and they stayed in touch, and he was, you know, just really fascinated by Antonio and his plight and his struggles, and so when he found out Antonio was retiring, he came to me with the idea of, you know, doing a short film, and that was the intention originally, was to do a short, but then just a whole world kind of opened up to us, and, you know, what I discovered was how incredible the non-bullfighting side of the story was. You know, everything had to do with his life choices and family choices, and then all these people around him had a lot of kind of stakes in his decisions, and that's really what drew me in. Finally, is the non-bullfighting stuff, if that makes sense. It's really more just the human stuff.
Yes, it does make sense, because I found all of that very compelling. I'm actually studying marriage and family therapy, and so it was, the whole story was just awesome. And the way that the stories blended so well with his story, and that of the bull, of course. So now, are you a fan of the sport of bullfighting?
I'm really not. I'm not, and I didn't really become one, but through making this film, I learned a lot about it. I definitely can speak about it, and I'm very interested in it. I find it fascinating. I find it fascinating as this sort of ancient spectacle that still exists in the modern world, and I think that's there's a lot to sort of understand and learn from it before it disappears, and it will. But I'm definitely not a fan.
Mm-hmm. So how do you feel like not? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, and so I have a very mixed view of the spectacle, and that's why. By the way, the choice of Antonio Barrera made a lot of sense to me. It wasn't, you know, if I had been presented with the idea of making a documentary about a famous figura of bullfighting, a famous matador who's a superstar, I don't know that I would be as interested. You know, I didn't come into it wanting to sort of just see the romance and kind of glorify the spectacle. The choice of Antonio Barrera is because he's on the fringes of the spectacle, and I think because he's not a poster boy for bullfighting, it makes it so interesting.
Mm-hmm. And so, would I be correct in concluding that not being a fan actually helped in your directing process?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we've all seen what films that are made by fans usually look like, and how, you know, look, we all have blind spots.
Absolutely.
And we all, mm-hmm. you know, nothing's objective in this world. But mm-hmm. but I think that if you come into something with a wider view of it, you might have a chance of discovering a few more things, especially if you're not judgmental, right? I didn't, you know, I'm not a fan of bullfighting, but I didn't come into it. As you know, the movie is not an activist film against bullfighting, nor is it pro-bullfighting. It's mm-hmm. sort of hopefully an eye-level look at the whole thing through the eyes of Antonio Barrera, who really suffered a lot to kind of stay in the game. But, I mean, that's really what how we see bullfighting, how I see bullfighting.
Okay. So this next question, Ido, is sort of a continuation of what we're talking about. You're aware of the release of the American film Concussion and how that led to a renewed debate about whether or not American football should continue to exist as a sport. You right. do depict a small group of animal rights protesters in Gord. Do you anticipate increasingly intense debate about bullfighting in Europe and or South America with the release of Gord?
I do. I mean, we see it, and it started when we first premiered at Tribeca in spring. the conversation was pretty heated, whether it was during the Q&As after screenings or in the media or in social media. You know, a lot of it just kind of came about organically on Facebook. And you could see, if you look at posts on Facebook on our page, the war between the bullfighting fans and the anti and the animal rights people, and it's pretty heated. And a lot of it is not even about the film. Many of them haven't seen the film. It's just that when the subject matter comes up, people feel very strongly about it. It's being pushed out. You know, it's illegal in more and more countries in the last few years, in South America as well as parts of Spain, as we know, in Catalonia and other parts. So it's definitely a spectacle that's sort of fighting to survive, to stick around, and it seems to me, for the most part, it seems to be a tough losing battle. I mean, that's what most bullfighting fans will tell you, is that they know they're sort of losing the war, but they're pretty passionate about it. And yes, I mean, look, the film is actually a character piece about this man who's obsessive, who's been sort of on this course his whole life, whether he liked it or not, and it's very much about other things, but the subject of bullfighting always brings us out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was the most challenging aspect of making Gourd?
Well, I would say the most challenging aspect, well, there are two. One is you're faced with, we filmed everything pretty up close. I mean, as you can see in the film, we're in there.
Yes.
We're in the bullpen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're in the bull ring. We're right there, and we're barely protected. So that was, it's physically, and there was a lot of running around, you know, from the potential danger. So, you know, that was definitely something to kind of overcome. The other thing was just working with a bullfighter, you know, even if he's not the most famous bullfighter, there's a challenge. There's a certain air of mystery and mystique that they like to keep around them. And so they're not the easiest people to make appointments with. And so half the time we were running around Mexico and Spain looking for Antonio. When we had him in front of us, it would be incredibly close and intimate, and the access he gave us was incredible and really unprecedented. But to get to him, even though we had a relationship with him, to really pin him down or really find him was a real chase.
Well, I have to say to you all's credit then, because you don't get any sense that was difficult. You only get the up close and really intimate view. So congratulations on that.
Right.
In your interview with Antonio Barrera's father, he speaks of his desire to become a bullfighter. Now, do any of Antonio's children desire to enter the bullfighting ring?
You know, that's, at the end, there's a quick cut of, a quick shot of a picture on the mantle at his house, and that's his little boy holding a capote, a cape. Mm-hmm. And he's like 3 years old in the photo. And we asked him about that, you know, Antonio is funny about that. He said, you know, look, I prefer my son does not become a bullfighter because of what I went through and the toll it took on me, he said. But then in the same breath, I mean, barely a full stop, he said, but if he does choose to become a bullfighter, I will have to teach him that every afternoon he goes out there, he has to let himself die.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually the last thing he said in the interview. And, you know, it was one of those last things that finally didn't make the final cut of the film, because the ending wasn't really about that. But it was a very powerful reminder to how Antonio was raised, and his father being a failed bullfighter, and kind of transferring that dream to his son, you know, without really the son. I mean, the son was seven, you know, Antonio was 7 years old when his father put him in front of the bulls for the first time. So it's something that he was programmed to do from a really young age. And I think he's struggling with whether he's, you know, hopefully we're usually, you know, a little bit smarter than our parents usually. I think Antonio's a little bit smarter than his father. And I think he's fighting his own nature when he looks at his own son. And I think it's a tough conflict for him.
Mm-hmm. So, What motivates you as an artist?
You know, where I end up finding myself as an artist is in sort of this combination of usually the worlds I explore, worlds that are completely foreign to me. I kind of take the opportunity in my films to really visit places I've never been to and are not at all part of my world, whether it's the police department with our last film, whether it's a bullfighter with this one, and, you know, many other projects where I'm really sort of a tourist in this other world. On the other hand, the protagonists, usually the main characters I depict, are people that I somehow relate to, actually, where their plight or their conflict ends up being a separate thing, or sort of something that transcends the context or the world and is true to my world as well. So with Antonio, funny enough, what I sort of related to right off the bat is this intense fear, and I don't know how much Antonio feels it, but I always kind of sense it between the lines, that fear that you might not be great at what you are destined to do. And I think every artist feels that feeling of, what if somebody taps me on the shoulder one day and says, I'm on to you. I know you're not as good at what you profess to be good at as you're saying. And it's a real fear. Like I think we all at some point in our lives have this fear of sort of being exposed or realizing that our dream is not achievable. And that really drew me in. And in general, that's usually what ends up sort of driving me and how connected I feel to a character.
Ah, all right. Thank you. So, do you have any advice for student filmmakers?
I think, what would be my advice to student filmmakers? I think in general, so two things. I think if you're going to be making something, and it doesn't matter, you know, I do both fiction and nonfiction. I've done both. And I think that if you're going to create something, whether you're a filmmaker or any kind of artist, if you're going to make something new that you're going to put into the world, take a moment to think about whether this is a story you want to put out into the world. Meaning, it doesn't have to have a direct message or be educational, but the world is already so full of things. Mm-hmm. That we're so exposed to so many things and we're so oversaturated with information that I think if you're going to put something out there, and it's going to take you a long time to do it, when you commit to a project, it's going to take you a few years to do it, take a moment to think about, is this what I want to put out there? Is there justification? And justification is a tricky word, but is there a good reason for this thing to be out in the world? And I think once you have that kind of commitment to a story, I think that story will be that much better. That's something that I've sort of learned really in the last couple of years. You learn that when you start a movie, you have no idea when it's going to actually end and get to the finish line. And so you got to really decide whether this is the story you want to be telling for the next few years. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, and I'm not saying it to, I think people should be creative all the time and make things all the time. And I think there's nothing more beautiful than creating. I just think that when you're committing to a movie, which takes a lot longer than maybe other art forms to make, you know, to think about your relationship with the story before.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That, you know, I'm thinking as you're speaking, Ido, that's very similar to how we're asked to engage as doctoral students, because we're talking about 6 years. And I know the major input that I've received is, well, you better make it something that you can sustain interest in for that long. That makes a contribution, because from from our professor's role, it's always, well, what contribution is your thing going to make to the field? And it sounds what you're describing sounds very similar to that same thing. What contribution to the world is a particular film project going to make?
I think so. And I think if you really feel strongly about, once you ask yourself those questions, and you still feel strongly about telling that story, it probably means that you're going to enter the journey with a real point of view. Like, you'll have something to say about the world you're about to depict. And that's, I think that's really important. I think that's where we're either adding something or just adding more noise.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, sir, thank you so much. Did you have anything you'd like to add, a final thought, comment?
No, I think I really love what we covered. I think we talked about a lot of things that I feel very strongly about. I really appreciated the questions.
Well, great. Thank you so much. And again, I look forward to just hearing great things as the film continues on its journey.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.